Well, if you join with me, please turn to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And again, as a missionary, I have to preach missionary messages, mission messages. And so I ask you, please, that I know this is a familiar verse, but really, it's just amazing how God's word presents itself over and it presents truth to us over and over and over to us. And as humans, we most of the times don't grasp that truth, and we need to be reminded of that truth. I know I definitely do. So please join with me, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35, and you please stand. Matthew chapter 5, verse 35. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Join me here. And Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you, God, for your love. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Thank you, God, for being good to us, and yet still being a righteous God that upholds truth. And I love you, God, and I thank you, God, for being so good to me, God, in my own personal life. I thank you, God, that I get to come and preach, God, tonight. I thank God for that great opportunity, Lord. And ask, Father, please, that you bless this time, Lord. Fill me with your power, fill me with your spirit, Lord, that I might be able to present your truth, Lord, the way you want it to be presented. And ask, Father, please, help us, God, meet with us here tonight, God. I know many of us are tired. Many of us have had a long weekend, God. And ask, Father, please, give us the strength, give us the ability to stay awake and to focus on your word, God. I thank you, God, for being so good to us, God. Be with us now. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As a missionary, it's kind of funny calling myself a missionary. I'm really stepping into really new grounds for us. And so so we got back from Uganda, and really we just hit the ground running. We really did. I put together our display board, I put together our video, and one of the big things I think every missionary needs to have is prayer cards. That's a foundational thing for a missionary. You need to have a prayer card. You have to have a prayer card. And so, so really I knew, okay, I need to have a prayer card, I have to have a display, I have to have a video, you know, that's what missionaries do. And so really, I began working on it. Now, it was interesting because, again, before we left, I knew I had to put all this stuff together. But after I came back, I had this burden. I had this passion. I had this desire, this burning desire. I really want to go back to Uganda. I really do. My family and I, my four girls and I, we really want to go back to Uganda. My home church, College Heights Baptist Church, they know that I constantly talk about Uganda. And I think they're starting to get tired of it. Because it's funny, things will happen. I'm like, well, actually, in Uganda, this actually happens. So I know I talk about Uganda a lot. I really do. But that's just because I love Uganda. I really do. I miss it. If I can say, I really miss Uganda. Even the malaria, I miss all of that. I miss the people. I miss it. I really do. And so when I came back, my wife and I, we sat down and we prayerfully put together our prayer card. And I know that it's, you know, a prayer card. You go, you give it out to as many people as you can. I know for my family and I, we kind of like Christian, what would you call it? Like Christian collectible cards. You know, you just collect prayer cards from every missionary that comes through. And so I know for us, we definitely have a lot of missionary prayer cards that, we, of course, we pray for. We care about them and we pray for them. And so I know when I put together, when I sat down, I definitely considered what I was going to put on our prayer card. See, the reason why that I was so careful on the pictures and what we put on it was because I really care about this thing. And I really want you to care about this thing. I know, again, as humans, we're all guilty of this, including myself. We get the prayer cards, we pray for the missionary, and then things happen, And then things happen, and then, oh yeah, I forgot about that prayer card. Let's be honest for a second. That's just the reality of it. So when I put this together, I was really praying. I was prayerfully considering what I was going to put on this. Because, see, when I give this to people, I really want people to pray for us. I really want people to pray for us. I want them to pray that my wife and I, my four girls, will be able to raise our support fast. And I think God can do that. I believe God can do that. I believe God can give us enough support fast to get back to Uganda. And I'm really praying, and I'm really hoping that people would look at this and pray for us and care enough to pray for us. See, when I put this together, my intent was that I care about this so much. And when I give it to people, I wish that they would care about it so much. I hope they would care about it so much. Because I really need your prayer. As a missionary, I really desperately need your prayer. I need you going to God on our behalf, praying, asking God for the concerns that we have. This is very important to me. And so when I give it to people, and again, we're all guilty. I see kids that'll have this and they'll end up in the parking lot. It happens. But really, when I'm giving this to people, I'm really hoping they would pray for us. Now, I'm not saying all this so that to convict everybody, but I'm saying this. That's the intent behind this, though. When I ask people, pray for me, I'm asking them to care about what I care about, if I could say it that way. I'm asking you, can you please care about what I care about? See, because, again, I really care about Uganda. I saw with my own eyes people that are lost in sin. I saw people that have no hope. I saw people that are going through life, struggling with things that they shouldn't really be struggling with, and then having no hope, having no hope, knowing that they're going to die and go to hell. And I care about that. That concerns me. And so my wife and I, we pray. We pray for the people that we met. We pray for the newborn Christians that are there. I mean, we pray for the towns. We pray for the villages. We pray for those people. See, I care about that. And so when I give this out to people, I'm asking people to care about what we care about. In a sense, that's what I'm doing. I'm asking you. Again, we're all busy. We all have our own lives. We all have things that we're going through. We all have family, sickness. We all have all of that. And I'm just asking as a missionary, just being blunt and upfront, I'm asking people to care about what I care about, because to me, it's very deep. To me, it's very important to me. And so when I ask people to care about what I care about, and when people actually do, let me say it that way, when I see people actually caring what I care about, oh, it's so humbling. It's so amazing, right? Whenever you go to a family member, whenever you go to a pastor and ask pastor, can you please pray for so-and-so? Can you please pray for us? We have this situation in our life. You care about what is going on in your life. So much to the point, you would bring it to your pastor. You would bring it to your friends. You would bring it to your church members so that they could care about it. And so that they would be willing to pray about it and bring it before God. And so that God could intervene and God could do something. That's why we ask for prayer, right? I think, of course, that's why we do that. Someone's sick. Someone's dying. Someone's going through a problem. And so we ask pastor, so-and-so, can you please pray for this person? Because you want the pastor, you want other people to care about what you care about. Go with me here. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So here Jesus is in his ministry, right in the middle of his ministry. So Jesus, it's so funny, verse 35 is really packing so much event in just one verse. It really is. Jesus is going from one city, and while he's in that city, there is sick people, there is dying people, there's people in need of salvation, and then Jesus, he's healing this person. He's healing this blind man. He's healing this sick person. He's casting out demons. He's preaching the gospel. And then after he's done with that city, he goes on to another city, and then he's preaching, and then he heals people, sick after sick. It's so funny. I think we can all agree, in towns and villages, one of the abundance of that is in cities is sick people. In villages, in towns, there's a lot of sick people. So you can imagine really for a second, Jesus was very busy in what he was doing. He was going from one town, preaching the gospel, healing people left and right. And then he was going to another town, another village, left and right, people left and right. And on top of that, everywhere he was going, look at that verse. Look at, again, small verse, but look about all that was taking place in that verse. Can you imagine how many sick people were there? Can you imagine how many people had diseases? How many people had demons? How many people died and were bringing their dead to Jesus and asking Jesus to bring them back to life? Jesus, again, was smack dab in his ministry, healing people left and right, preaching the gospel, preaching the gospel. And so when I read this, it kind of makes me tired. It kind of makes me very tired. Because can you imagine going from one town and imagine all the people that are sick, all the people that are dying, all the people that have needs. They have physical needs, spiritual needs. And Jesus was meeting those needs. He was healing the people. And on top of that, he was preaching the word of God. And people were getting saved. And then he goes to another village. Exact same thing. Can you just imagine the time that he spent doing all of that? And again, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. This is our God who knew these people personally and loved these people. Knew them by their names, as we learned this morning from Zacchaeus. He loved them personally. He knew them personally. He loved these people. So if you can imagine the time and care that he put into what he was doing. He was healing people. He was preaching the word of God. And then I can just imagine going to another town, knowing the people, doing the exact same thing over and over, every village and every town that he went to. Now let's look at this next verse. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. So again, Jesus identifies the need. There was a clear need. Scripture clearly proves it. There was a need. People needed to be healed. People were sick and needed to be healed. There were people that were lost and dying and going to hell, and Jesus came and preached the word of God. He was meeting those needs. There was a clear need. There is a clear need in Albuquerque tonight. Amen? There's people that are sick physically, and there's so many people that are lost and dying and going to hell. There is a need. It is very clear. When we went to the zoo today, it was hot, but we loved it. But there were so many people there. It just kind of blew my mind how many people were there. We were sitting on a bench, and I got to talk to a man's name today. His name was Steve. And it was interesting. I brought up God, and he was really kind of reserved. He didn't want to talk about God. And so I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be cordial. But he needed God. Get this. He needed God. Albuquerque needs God. Uganda needs God. They need God. Now, I'm not saying that it's just something that they want or it's casual. No, they need it. They need God. So if you can imagine with me for a second, here Jesus is going to village to village, to town, and there is a clear need, a very clear need. And Jesus is seeing this firsthand. He's healing people left and right, preaching the word of God. And he sees these people firsthand, the need that's there. The need. And then look at verse 36 again. Look at verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. I grew up on the reservation, and one of the things that we grew up around was sheep. We had lots of sheep. And I hated sheep. I hate them. I love eating them, but I hate them, if I could say it that way. I loved messing with them and picking on them, but I hated taking care of them. So we had sheep growing up. And every night, my grandma would tell me to put the sheep in the corral, to put them back in where they're supposed to be. I hated it because sheep are dumb. I'm going to be honest, because they're always walking around. So you really have to go and you have to herd them back to where they're supposed to be, if I could say it that way. And I hated it, because I would rather be inside watching TV or playing a game or doing something. So I'd have to go out, because here's the thing about sheep. They won't do it unless somebody tells them to do it, unless somebody helps them. Because sheep don't have the capability within them to go back where they're supposed to go. So my grandma said, go out there, put the sheep where they're supposed to be. So I would get out, I would herd the sheep back to the corral and close it up. Because if I didn't, the sheep would just be out there roaming around. And most likely they would get eaten by coyotes or something. So I had to do that. In order for them to survive, I had to do that. There had to be a level of leadership there, if I could say it that way. So if you can imagine me for a second, here Jesus is, again, going from town to town to town, from village to town, seeing all these people, healing them, preaching the word of God. And then Jesus, again, I can see him looking at the multitude. And this is God Almighty. This is God himself looking at all the villages, looking at all the people. And it's interesting, the conclusion that he comes to, he's moved with compassion on them. I know sometimes as humans, we get upset when people are not doing what they're supposed to do. When adults are asking for money, when people are sick and they're begging or something like that. As humans, again, we get this state of this, just get a job. Oh, just grow up. Oh, just do something with your life. And it's interesting because Jesus' reaction, I knew I was going to do that. I knew it. Oh, I knew it. So there Jesus was. His reaction, get this, he was moved with compassion. Rather than getting mad at them, rather than getting upset with them, oh, those sheep, those dumb sheep. No, he was moved with compassion, that love he had for them. Knowing what they were going through, knowing their struggles, he was moved with compassion on them. And so there Jesus was. moved with compassion. He makes this analogy that they're like sheep having no shepherd. Now, I find that interesting because they're sheep and they're just out there wandering around, not having anyone to care for them and lead them and help them. And so that's the analogy Jesus brings. Look at this next verse. Verse 37. Look at this verse. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Let me read it again. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So it's interesting because Jesus calls them sheep. And then in the next part, he brings the truth is that there's a harvest. In Uganda, Brother Brian, one of the local men there, he had about, I want to say, three to four acres of land. And on that land, he grew corn. He grew a lot of corn. And Ugandan corn is not as good as American corn. I'll say it that way. So there he was. He grew 3 to 4 acres of land, and he grew nothing but corn on that. So it was really awesome. We got to be there right when it started. And so before we left, it grew pretty tall. It was huge. So he had 3 to 4 acres of corn, just a lot of corn. And so now how wrong would this be if he goes over there, picks the corn, only three of them, brings them back, and only eats those three corn? That doesn't make any sense. Dude, you have this whole field of corn. Look about all the tortillas you could make with this. Look at what all you could do with this corn. There is so much potential with this corn. And all he does is take three, and he only eats those three. That doesn't make any sense. Obviously, we would all agree, that doesn't make any sense. To leave all of that corn there, that makes no sense at all. And of course, he had help. And so he was able to go, pick all the corn, take all the from really that was there during harvest time. And he was able to do all of that. He had help. He had help to pick all of that. And so he made a lot of money from that. Now, again, it would be very wrong for just to take just two or three and leave the rest. That doesn't make any sense. So here Jesus is. He makes this analogy that the people are like sheep. They are in need of someone to help them. And then he goes on to say that there is a harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous. Meaning, there is a lot of people, again, we know what Jesus is getting at. There's a lot of people that are willing to get saved. I know we live in a hard, spiritually hard time right now. I get that. But Jesus is making this promise right now. He's making this promise in the verse that the harvest truly is plenteous. Albuquerque is ready for harvest. That's what he's saying. Albuquerque is plenteous. There is people out there willing to get saved. That's what he's saying. There's people in Uganda right now that are willing to get saved. There are people all over the world. The harvest truly is plenteous. That's what he's saying. And so he goes on to say, yes, there's sheep. The sheep scattered. And then he goes on to say, yes, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's ready to be picked. It's ready to be picked right now. And then he goes to the problem. He goes to the dilemma. Let's read this again. I want to read this to you. I want you to be able to see this from Scripture. So we saw the need, and then Jesus comes to a dilemma. There is a dilemma. Verse 37. Then saith he unto disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. Look, but get this. But the laborers are few. So you have this whole corn, this whole field of corn, and it's ready to be picked. It's ready to be picked. And how terrible would it be if all of Brother Brian's workers, helpers, would say, no, I don't want to help. I don't want to help you do this. And then again, all of that goes to waste. And so Jesus is making that same problem right here. He's saying, the harvest truly is plenteous. There's people that are willing to get saved. There's people that are willing to come to God. There are people that are willing to walk down this aisle. But the problem is, there isn't enough laborers. That's what he's saying. Look at those words. But laborers are few. He's saying, look at this great, amazing, the harvest is plenteous. There's things that can happen here. There is potential here. But the problem is there isn't enough people willing to go and help. There isn't enough laborers. There isn't enough laborers. Goes on to say, look at this. Look at this. Those sheep, they need someone to love them. They need someone to care for them. They need someone that is willing to get up at night, put on their shoes, go outside and help them and bring them back. But there's not many people willing to do that. That's what he says. So he sees there's a clear need. Jesus clearly states there is a need. Albuquerque, there is a need. In the world, there is a need. There is a clear need for people to get saved. Then he goes on to say, those people are willing to get saved. Those people are willing to come to God. Those people, there is potential there, but there isn't enough laborers. There isn't enough laborers. There isn't enough people willing to go and pick that, willing to help and to help in the harvest. As a kid, I think we can all agree, as a kid, I hated it. I hated it picking weeds. I hated it. Weeds would grow at our house. My dad would say, go outside and pick those weeds. I hated it. I know it was rebellion. I repented of it, but I hated it. But it's so funny because a lot of Christians, they treat it like that, though. They treat it like they're pulling weeds. But yet Jesus is making this promise that there is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous, but there isn't enough laborers. So Jesus makes clear the need. He makes very clear what the need is, and then he makes very clear what the problem is. And then look at this point. After stating all of this, Jesus, he comes to the solution. Look at this, verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let me read it again. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Again, the reason why I mentioned that I want people to pray about what I care about is because to me, it's very important. Uganda is very important to me. So if you could imagine with me for a second, here Jesus is looking at this multitude. He's seeing the clear need. He's seeing the problem that the harvest truly is plenteous. There's people willing to get saved, people willing to do right, but there isn't enough laborers. And so Jesus, I can imagine, he turns to his disciples, knowing all that is going on. He turns to his disciples and he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Now get that for a second. Knowing that these people are dying, knowing their needs, knowing that the harvest truly is plenteous, but there isn't people that are willing to get up and to help in that, he turns to his disciples and he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Now when I first really read that, I'm like, what? Why didn't Jesus just tell them to go out and to love people? Which he does. But why in this particular passage does he say, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest? Then on top of that, why didn't Jesus do some kind of like campaign or post for jobs descriptions or something? Why didn't he do something like that? I mean, he's God. So why is he looking at his people, get this, his people, and telling his people to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest? So a couple days ago, really about 2 weeks ago, I got a very sad text. There were some bus kids in our church. There's some bus kids. We pick them up. We love them. And the dad texted me, and he was very sad. He said, my kids are no longer going to be able to come to church because my wife and I are separating. And they're going to be with their mom, and so they're not going to be able to come. Now, and he said, he literally asked if I would be willing to pray for him. He said, can you pray for my family? Pray that God would help us and help us through this situation. Now, how horrible and wicked would it be? How terrible, how sad would it be if I saw that? Knowing that that man is going through pain, knowing what he is going through, and I just say, and just forget all about it and just keep going on. No. What I did was I got on my knees and I prayed. See, I care about that family. I care about him. I don't want that to happen to his family. I don't want those kids to leave the church. I care about him. See, I found this very true. When I start praying for something, I begin to care about it. I begin to become concerned about it. In fact, I want to see what happens in that situation. I don't want to just pray and then forget all about it. No, when I truly pray and am concerned about something, when I'm praying for a situation, I want to see what happens in that situation. If there's any way that I can be involved and help in that situation, that's what I want to do. Because I've learned in my life, in my Christian life, that when I begin to pray, when I begin to get involved, when I get on my knees and truly pray for a situation, God begins to work in my heart. God begins to change me. God begins to move me. God begins to change my focus off of me and onto him and what needs to be important. So here Jesus is. He's looking at his disciples. And he's saying, pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Because get this, he wants his disciples to care about the situation. He wants his disciples to care what is going on. He wants his disciples to see that there's people that are dying and going to hell. He wants his disciples to see the need. And then he wants them to identify the problem. He wants them to understand that there is a clear problem. There isn't enough laborers. And then he wants them to pray. He wants them to care. He wants them to get involved. Now, I know this. Whenever I begin to pray, God puts something on my heart. God begins to change my heart. I know that God has definitely done this. I begin to pray for a missionary, and then God would put on my heart, I need to give an offering to that missionary. I need to give a love offering to that missionary. See, when we begin to pray, when we get our will in line with God's will, then he's able to do things with us. And again, when I begin to pray, when I truly get in tune to what God wants me to do and I pray for that situation, I begin to care. I begin to truly care and consider what's going on. And when I do that, God is able to use me in whatever way he wants me to. See, the thing about it is sometimes, look at this. Jesus is looking at his disciples, looking at the need, looking at the problem, looks at his disciples and he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. If I were to come to you personally and ask you, come to you personally and say, my daughter is sick. Can you please pray for my daughter? My little girl is sick. Can you personally pray for my daughter? A good human being would pray for my daughter. They would consider and pray for my daughter. Now here it is. Jesus is coming to you personally and asking you personally to pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray to God that he would send more laborers to Albuquerque, to this area. He's coming to you directly and asking you directly to care about the lost people that are out there. He's coming to you directly and asking you to care. But how many of us, let's be honest for a second, let's be real for a second, we're so busy in our lives, we're so busy in our ministries, we're so busy that we haven't even prayed asking God that he would send more people to Albuquerque. I'm guilty of that, I'll be honest with you. In your prayer life today, this week, have you asked God God, please send more laborers to Albuquerque. There's people that are dying and going to hell. God, please send more people that will love people and help people and send them to Albuquerque. Let's be honest. If you're a Christian, did you pray that this week? Let's be honest for a second. Let's be real for a second. Let's be real with our Christianity for a second. Have we asked God, God, would you send more people into the world, to parts of the world where they have no gospel witness? Because get this. This just blows my mind. 84 million people in Congo and only one independent Baptist church preaching the gospel. To my knowledge, only one. Only one. I am praying that God would send more people there. In Uganda, there's 34 million people. Uganda is in desperate need of missionaries. And I'm praying that God would send more laborers there. See, the problem is, yeah, we're forgetful, we're humans, but most of the time we don't care. Let's just be honest for a second. We don't care. It's monetary. We think about it for a second, and then we just keep going on with our lives and we forget it. Those people need laborers. Those people need someone that's willing to love them and care for them. And as Christians, we need to be willing enough to care about that, to think about that, willing to pray that God would send more laborers. And when we begin to pray, when we truly begin to pray, when we truly begin to pray, it's amazing. God begins to change our heart. God begins to change us to the point where we think, okay, what can I do to help? Dearly Father God, we come before you, Lord. Dear God, we come before you, God, and ask, Father, please, that you would meet with us here tonight, God, that you would help us, God, here tonight, God, as your people, God, tonight. If there's somebody here that is not saved, if there is somebody here that does not know you, God, that you would save them, Lord, that they would come now, God, that you put your power of conviction and spirit upon their lives, God, that you would save them, God, that they'd be willing to come to this altar and get saved, Lord. And ask, Father, please, help us, God, as Christians, as your people, to care about what you care about, to love what you love, Father. Help us, God, as your people to care. Help us, God, as your people to love people that are lost and dying and going to hell, having no shepherd, having no one that is willing to go and labor and help them. We pray for America now, Lord. There's many towns and cities that have nothing. No gospel witness, Lord. And I ask you, God, please, that you'd help us, God, tonight, as your people, God, as your people, to be willing to care, to truly pray, and to bring that request to you, Father, that you could do something amazing, God. And help us, God, us here, God, help us as your Christians, God. Help New Heights Baptist Church, Lord, to begin to pray, Lord, fervently for laborers. Help them to change, Lord, change their hearts. Help them, God. Be with them, God. God, thank you for being so good to us, for being so amazing to us, God. Bless this invitation time, Lord. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.